and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Trucap Finance Limited Q1 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Valorem Advisors. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. Thank you, and over to you, Ms. Jain.
Thank you. Good morning, everyone, and a warm welcome to you all. My name is Purvangi Jain from Valorem Advisors. We represent the investor relations of Trucap Finance Limited, earlier known as Dhanvarsha Finvest Limited. On behalf of the company, I would like to thank you all for participating in today's earnings conference call for the first quarter of the financial year 2023. Before we begin, I would like to mention a short cautionary statement. Some of the statements made in today's con call may be forward-looking in nature. Such forward-looking statements are subject to risk and uncertainties, which could cause actual results to differ from those anticipated. Such statements are based on management's beliefs as well as assumptions made by and information currently available to the management. Audiences are cautioned not to place undue reliance on these forward-looking statements in making any investment decisions. The purpose of today's earnings conference call is purely to educate and bring awareness about the company's fundamental business and financial quarter under review. Now, I would like to introduce you to the management participating in today's earnings conference call and give it over to them for their opening remarks. We have with us Mr. Rohanjit Juneja, Managing Director and Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Sanjay Kukrecha, Chief Financial Officer, Mr. Mahendra Kumar Sarvaiya, Chief of Credit and Risk, Mr. Sumit Khanna, Head of Digital Credit and Product, Mr. Gaurav Bhargava, Head of Gold and Branch Business. I will now hand it over to Mr. Rohanjit Juneja for his opening remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Welcome everyone to our fiscal 1Q23 earnings call. We are pleased to announce strong pre-tax earnings of 25.1 million for the quarter, up from 17.5 million in June 2021. This translates to earnings growth of 43% year-over-year with a 2.6% ROA. Disbursements were 1.6 billion, up from 417 million a year ago, led by MSME gold and business loans. With substantially higher disbursements, revenues rose 129% year-over-year to 261 million. This was led by very strong interest income growth, which was up 255% year-over-year to 220 million from 61.8 million in June 2021. While our loan book has grown by almost three times over the last 1 year to 3.95 billion, more importantly, customer count has increased by almost 4.5 times to 46,000 customers. Today, that number is up to almost 52,000 borrowers. The product composition of our loan book today is 46% in MSME business loans, 43% in MSME gold loans, 7% in loans against property, which is in runoff mode, and 4% in personal loans. We are particularly pleased that the company has successfully completed the infusion of $340 million in early May, led by Aviator Emerging Market Fund and the promoter group along with key management. We will be getting an additional infusion of $280 million for conversion of warrants into equity shares over the next 1 year. With the combined infusion, our net worth will be about $2.4 billion with a debt-to-equity ratio of 1.3x, providing substantial headroom for growth. Before we go into what our growth prospects and the balance sheet will look like going forward, I would like to update you that Dhanvarsha is now Trucap Finance Limited, with the brand Dhanvarsha being retained for our branches. We truly believe this name represents what the company is looking to achieve, the genesis of which is based on a singular focus on trust. Making credit accessible for everyone by deploying capital and technology to power the growth of MSMEs. Our endeavor is to make credit worthy for all, thus overcoming the fear of who is credit worthy. In this new avatar, the company's focus will predominantly be on MSME business and MSME gold loans. This will be led by scalable and sustainable tech distribution and lending as a service, or LAS, for large financiers, which is materially profitable and capital efficient for TrueCap's balance sheet. LAS today is more than 12% of total AUM, up from zero in June 2021 and 4% in March 2022. We had earlier guided for LAS to be almost 10% of AUM by the end of this fiscal year. So we are very happy to say that it will not be 10, but more like 20% by the end of this fiscal year. This will be led by scale-up of disbursements in our existing relationship with Central Bank of India, which until March 2022 was only in the state of Madhya Pradesh. Now this relationship has extended to Maharashtra and Delhi NCR in almost 40 of our 58 branches. Note, we have 23 branches in metro and tier 1 cities, while 35 branches are in tier 2, tier 3 and tier 4 towns, which are proving to be tremendously accretive for our LAS business. Enhanced volume and lending as a service, or LAS, with large lenders should lead to NIM expansion given capital efficiency of the product. The company is currently in active discussions with a few other large lenders for providing LAS in both the MSME business and MSME gold loan product. My colleague Gaurav Bhargava will provide more granularity on the MSME gold loan business, branches, audit and controls, and how we've been able to scale up LAS. Over to you, Gaurav.
Thank you, sir. A very good morning to all of you. Despite challenges and the fallout from COVID, over the last 2 years, we kept spreading our branch footprint across the states of Maharashtra, Delhi NCR, Goa, and Madhya Pradesh. By March 22, we were at 37 experiential centers, and as we speak today, we are at 58 live experiential centers set up across 20 cities, towns, across these four states. Our expansion strategy is structured around cluster-based approach, and hence, even in future also, we would strengthen our presence further in these four states, after which we could expand in Gujarat as opportunity comes in. These opportunities would be firming up of additional LAS partners. The current expansion plan, we would extend the centers to around 75 by March 23. Primarily, the expansion would happen in the Tier 2, Tier 3 towns, as there's great untapped potential to be encashed in these towns, as each town is surrounded by 30 to 40 nearby villages. And that's the best opportunity to serve the underserved and the underpenetrated market, which forms the core of India too. Further, our widespread distribution network helps us in catering to large relationships in lending as a service. Now, talking about our branch structure, it basically comprises of four staffs: branch manager, branch chief valuer, customer service or cashier, and a branch sales manager. Except the branch sales manager, all the other three employees are well versed with the valuation techniques and processes. Each transaction at the branch level is executed in a maker-checker mechanism, like branch opening, closing, valuation of gold jewelry, vault operations, cash management. For each loan disbursed at the branch, irrespective of the loan amount, dual valuation is conducted and lower of the two valuations qualifies for disbursal. With regards to the gold jewelry valuation process, various tests are conducted as per the ornament types and to analyze the carat and purity of gold, like acid salt water test, rubbing on soft stone, weight test, flexibility and finishing test. There are two other tests which are done on exceptional basis with the consent of the borrower, like scratching and deep cut test. Both the valuers independently update all the kinds of tests they have conducted on the specific ornament for analyzing the carat and purity of gold for the lending purpose, and same is recorded on the system. To add on to the robust valuation and collection process, what we have, till June 22, we have done auction for cases worth 1.11 crores and we have received 110% of the principal plus interest demanded. This signifies the point that valuation of gold, even for the auction pool, was in line with the basic process, as the amount received during auction was more than the demand. this 1.11 crore pool auction is 0.38% of the overall gross disbursals done till June 22. This further strengthens the point that our collection mechanisms through the branch network is strong and robust in nature. With regards to the processes and controls perspective, we have a dedicated team of 4 internal controls employees who audits the branch network at a random, unannounced frequency. During their visits, they do a 100% audit of gold jewelry kept in the packets, along with 100% loan documentation, release of documents, and any other process related to documents. Our branches are covered with 24/7 CCTV monitoring. Hence, the auditor also checks the customer presence in the branch at the time of pledge and also at the time of release of ornaments. In the audit checklist, we have a comprehensive list of 130 audit points, which are divided across 12 processes. These audit points are further segregated between high, medium, and low risk criteria and further helps in deriving the audit rating of the branch. The internal control team reports into the audit head and who further reports into the chief credit and risk officer. Now handing over back to Rohan, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Gaurav. One other point that we'd like to talk about is on the material scale-up in digital muscle that the company has undertaken over the last 12 months. In the last 1 year, we have deployed a fully integrated loan origination and loan management system. This newly integrated LOMS, as we call it, has customizable workflows for different products and has an open architecture for any third-party API integrations. The LOMS has an automated credit decisioning mechanism which runs multiple business rule engines simultaneously to provide final eligibility for the borrower. In short, we have taken offline processes and molded it into the system to digitize the credit and underwriting process. This has helped us move from a subjective to an objective approach in underwriting with a final overlay of human assessment. Lastly, on asset quality and risk, gross NPAs were 3.06% versus 3.17% a year ago. I think it's important to break down gross NPAs product-wise, since in our total gross NPA bucket of 3.06%, almost 60% of NPAs come from LAP and personal loans, which contribute 10% of our loan book today, but are in runoff mode. The majority of these loans were originated from September 2017 until September 2018, which is our legacy book, that we expect will decline to roughly 5% of the loan book by March 2023 from 10% today. If we have to exclude LAP and personal loans from the NPA bucket, gross NPAs on our focus loan book of MSME gold and MSME business loans, which are more than 90% of AUM today, would have been approximately 1.4%. To give some more granularity product-wise, gross NPAs in the MSME business loans were 2.16%, while gross NPAs in the gold loan business are 0.5%. Our resolution of LAP NPAs, we are confident of resolving more than 50% of gross NPAs in the LAP book by March 2023, while resolution on the other half will go into fiscal 24. This will entail release and potential redeployment of capital at substantially higher IRR. In recent quarters, we have introduced several additional risk governance and policy measures to further monitor credit risks at entity level, covering credit, liquidity, solvency, information security, and financial risks. In terms of audit controls, the audit team has designed and implemented a branch charter and branch scorecard, which is a measuring, scoring, and rating mechanism to give regular feedback to the field sales team on branch operations and functioning. This scorecard includes various risk and performance indicators against which branch performance and adherence towards policies and processes is evaluated. It also examines the effectiveness and efficiency of internal controls. With that, let us open the call up for questions. Thank you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Vikas Mehta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on good quarter of results. So I just have, initially I have one query regarding the GNPA numbers. So if I'm looking at the result statement, the GNPA is 3.5%, but in the presentation it is 3.1%. So can you please tell us which one is the correct number?
So in the presentation, the gross NPA is 3.05%. This 3.05% is for 100% of the loan book, which includes LAP and personal loans that are in runoff mode. If you exclude LAP and personal loans, which is just under 10% of the loan book today, but that's in runoff mode, then just for the MSME gold and MSME business loan product, which is the focus of the company going forward, gross NPAs would have been 1.4%.
Okay. And sir, there's no major improvement in these GNPA ratios versus when I compared a year ago. So, and the LAP seems to have not been recovered. So can you update on this status as well, and what is the plan on this? And how long will this continue on our books?
Yes, of course. So Vikas, what happened with us is we were eligible for SARFAESI only from March 2021 onwards, since our AUM had crossed 100 crores at that point in time. So since then, we've been in stages of discussion to resolve on the LAP portfolio. We have 12 LAP loans that are in the NPA bucket. Of those 12 LAP loans, we are fairly confident on recovering on 6 of them in this current fiscal itself. The other 6 will go into fiscal 2024. We are fairly confident on recovering on all of these LAP loans. We have worked through them individually on a case-by-case basis and also been in touch with the borrower for effective resolution. So this should be something as guided. 6 of these 12 should be closed by March 2023 and the other 6 in fiscal 24.
Okay, and when I'm looking at the overall AUM, LAP contributes 10% as on Q1 FY23, am I right?
No, LAP is 7%, personal loans is about 3%. So together the two of them are 10%.
Okay, and when you're talking about 7%, out of the 7%, how much is the NPA number,
So the NPA number just on this LAP book, it's about 19%.
It's about?
19% of the LAP portfolio, just that LAP portfolio is an NPA.
Okay. And what is the current provision coverage ratio in Q1 FY23?
So provision coverage is about 56%, and obviously what has happened with provision coverage as well, as we've written more and more gold loans, the provision on those loans are lower just given the fact that it's a secured product and the performance on gold has been very good for us.
Okay, so that's the reason there's a decrease in provision coverage ratio when I compared to Q4, am I right?
Correct. So if you look at AUM-wise, gold is 43% of the book today. But from a disbursement standpoint, incrementally, gold has been closer to 65% to 70%.
Okay. So that's just from myself. I'll get back in the queue in case I have more questions. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Vikas.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Prathamesh Kamat, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Hello. First of all, congratulations, sir, on a good set of numbers this quarter, and thank you for taking my question. My first question is, what is our cost of borrowing currently?
It's about 12%.
Okay. And my second question is, the fee and commission income have reduced on quarter-on-quarter and year-on-year basis. So what's the reason behind it?
Yeah, the reason being that we generated a large amount of our fee income, not just from processing fee, but also from syndication income, because when leads would come into our system, we would then pass them on to other sponsors. These would be leads that did not meet our credit underwriting policies. Now, as we are writing more and more loans on our own balance sheet, as opposed to a year and a half or 2 years ago, we are consuming more of those leads in-house, due to which the syndication income has declined.
Okay. And one final question from my side. So what was the thought process around rebranding the name from Dhanvarsha to TrueCap?
So the idea was Dhanvarsha is a name that resonates really well with our borrowers, given the connect that the borrowers have with the name Dhanvarsha, especially in Tier 2, Tier 3, Tier 4 towns. We also thought with all the enhancements and advancements that we are doing in our business, not just to build out the lending as a service portfolio, but also in terms of digital muscle, tech infrastructure and architecture, the idea was to have a more global appeal and global name, which is very simple in nature. So that's the reason we call it TrueCap Finance. And the idea is you'd be true to your borrower, true to your customer, true to your lender, true to your stakeholder, true to your investor. So that's how we came to it. And Dhanvarsha is still a brand that we would retain that will be owned by TrueCap.
Great, sir. Great. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask the question. The next question is from the line of Sachin Shah, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Congratulations, sir. Thank you for giving me the opportunity for taking my questions. Can you give us an update on the co-lending partnerships and how is the performance there and how is the growth?
Yes, certainly. So on co-lending, we have one large relationship today with Central Bank of India and a relationship with another NBFC. Co-lending for us has picked up substantially with the large lender, Central Bank of India. In March, it was about 4% of total AUM, which was about 11 crores. Today, that is up to about 12% of total AUM with an AUM north of 50 crores. We are writing more and more business with them from 40 branches today. When we started the relationship, it was just one branch in the state of Madhya Pradesh in August 2021. So our endeavor now is to build more of these relationships with other financiers and do this in a very focused manner, purely in two products, which would be the MSME business loan and MSME gold loan product. The co-lending business, as we call it, lending as a service, promotes capital efficiency and profitability, given the fact that it's high IRR in profit generation and really enhances capital efficiency on our balance sheet.
Okay, okay. So my second question is, there's a lot of competition across MSME lending and also gold loans now. And, you know, with banks and new age digital banks coming in, can you talk about the competitive landscape and what is your strategy to grow?
Yes. So while the business is competitive, no doubt about it, we have taken a very focused approach in expanding the branch business for MSME business and MSME gold loans and our tech architecture, especially catering towards customers in Tier 2, Tier 3, and Tier 4 towns. And we have chosen these four states in specific after undergoing a very detailed study with a large third-party consultant who advised us on the build-out of the business in these four states. So very calibrated, cluster-focused strategy on our expansion. Good part for us, at least so far, is we're still fairly small and can grow the balance sheet substantially in a very profitable manner through these co-lending partnerships. So that's our focus. In all reality, while, you know, the business may seem very competitive from the outside, on the inside, especially in the business loan product and the gold loan product towards MSME customers, while the business is competitive, there's still ample room for all of us in the industry to grow. And that is what we are seeing in these four states. That's the reason why we are taking a very calibrated strategy as well to expand potentially in one more state, but once we tie up with more co-lending partners.
That totally makes sense, sir. And also, my last question is, can you talk about how the Dhan Setu platform and your B2C app MoneyRabbit has been performing since its launch?
Yeah, so MoneyRabbit, we had launched it in the early part of the year, but then because we were awaiting final guidelines from the RBI on digital lending, which just came out 2 days ago, we had put that on hold. So MoneyRabbit, we have actually the entire front end, back end, all the entire system is fully built up, but we will go through the RBI digital lending guidelines with a fine tooth comb first before doing anything on MoneyRabbit. On Dhan Setu, which is our B2B channel partner app, that was launched about 2 months back, we are seeing good traction over there. Obviously, to reach full scale, we will still need a few months until we reach out to more channel partners and more channel partners adopt Dhan Setu. So short answer, we have seen good traction, but to reach full scale, it will still take a few months for us.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir, for taking my questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Raju from Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir, for the opportunity. So my first question is, what is the incremental cost of fund for the quarter? And how you are looking for, what is your guidance on the margins going forward, especially after the recent rise in the interest rate?
So on incremental funding cost for the quarter, it was about 11.9%. And on your question on guidance on margins, the margin should see expansion for us given the fact that we are doing more business with co-lending partners and what we call lending as a service, which is a more accretive margin product for us. So we do expect margins to go up for this fiscal year, all of this fiscal year relative to last year.
Okay, so next question is on that, as you have stated, currently we have 56 centers and planning to have 65 more centers in the coming months. So all this will be in the same geography, the four geography which currently you have presence in, or any other geography you are looking for to expand the business?
So these will not be 65 additional centers. This will be a total of 65 centers. So we are already...
Okay, so nine will be additional.
We were 56 at the end of June. We are already at 58 now. We will go up to 65 and potentially even up to 75 in the existing geographies that we operate, which are predominantly in the four states, Maharashtra, Madhya Pradesh, Delhi, NCR, and Goa. Post that, we could potentially expand into one more state depending on our tie-ups with other co-lending partners.
Okay. And one more, my next question is on that, that we, as we are currently looking to run off our lab business, and the main focus will be on MSME and gold loan going ahead. So how the portfolio mix will be going ahead, in and which will be the main focus area, like MSME, gold, both are the focus area. So what sort of AUM growth you are looking for, and how will be the portfolio mix?
So we would not like to give guidance on AUM growth right now. I think, you know, in the last 24 months, the book has grown fairly nicely. We expect the book to continue to grow. That's one. Number two, in terms of the product mix, today 90% of the book is between MSME business loans and MSME gold loans. 47% is MSME business and 43% is MSME gold. We expect the proportion to be relatively similar to where we are today. So whether it's 55-45 overall in terms of business loans versus gold loans, I think that time will tell, but the idea is for both these products to be growth focal points for the company going forward.
Okay, okay. Sir, one will ask that what kind of yield we are generating in the gold loan business, that MSME gold loan business segment?
Yeah, MSME gold loan yields about 19.8% for us.
And in the MSME business?
MSME business loans is about 21.5%.
Okay, sir. Thank you. That's from my side.
Thank you.
Thank you. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Vikas Mehta, individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, so actually I was with respect to gold loan only, as you mentioned that you are increasing your branch to around 65 branches. So which is the state which is the contributing the highest to the gold loan, and how many branches do we have there?
So today the highest branch count we have is in the state of Madhya Pradesh, where we have 21 branches. Next after that is Maharashtra, which is about 18, and then Delhi NCR, and then Goa. The incremental branch addition amongst these four states' largest contributor will be now in Maharashtra going forward.
By Maharashtra. Okay. And so what is the target there? How many branches should we expect in Maharashtra?
So in Maharashtra, we have a plan right now to go from 18 to 26. So an incremental 8 branches will come in Maharashtra.
Okay. One other thing which I want to ask about your FLDG partners from the regulators, what is our cost in this FLDG agreement with our partners? So do we have any kind of, you know, the ratio wherein we share with them, or how does that work?
So that business largely was born out of COVID, where we tied up with other NBFCs, all of whom are regulated entities. Is that the one you're talking about?
Yes.
Okay, yeah. So in that one, so the way that works is you have a team that works on that business, and the only cost of the preferred sourcing partners within FLDG is on the team. Essentially, they source service and collect on the loans for us, which is a joint credit underwriting policy, and they give us a guaranteed yield over which they make money on it. So there's no cost associated for us from a sourcing servicing standpoint on that business. Minimal cost of acquisition, no cost of risk so far, and minimal cost of marketing on that.
Okay, and so this way we are just making that MSME business loan also back by making it safe, right?
Correct.
That's why just for this process. Okay, and lastly, talking about the current ROA, so what will be the timeline to reach our target 5%? I believe in some previous quarter you mentioned our target of ROA is around 5%. So, and what will be the product mix of portfolio at that target level of ROA?
So the ideal product mix at a 5% ROA would be about 55% in business loans and 45% in gold loans. The way we get to the 5% ROA is largely through these, through obviously building the loans on our own balance sheet and with the co-lending partnerships where, almost 80% of the capital is provided by a large lender and 20% is provided by us. And the timeline to get to a 5% ROA would be in fiscal 25.
Fiscal
25?
Yeah. And lastly,
if we do, there is potential we could get there earlier as well. Sorry to interject. That depends entirely on the traction we get in these lending as a service or co-lending relationships.
Yeah, so obviously we have more active partners there as well. Like I was looking at our presentation, so we may reach there early as well in case that happens quickly, right?
We would like to guide for fiscal 25 at this point in time. If we do get there earlier, it's always better.
Okay, and can you provide your current NIMs and how has been the trend in FY22?
Yeah, so current NIM right now is up from fiscal 2022. Two things over there. One is first quarter of fiscal 23, we wrote a good amount of business with the Central Bank of India and the co-lending or LAS partnership, because of which the NIM was 11%. In the previous year, fiscal 22, the NIM was between 6 and 8% predominantly, largely because we carried a very heavy liquidity balance as well with the equity infusion. So we had one equity infusion in April 2021, and then we had equity come in later in the year as well. And then we also raised a good amount of debt due to which we had a heavy liquidity balance.
Okay, and we are also looking for one more equity round in the next couple of quarters, right?
We do have about 280 million, 28 crores that is expected to come in this fiscal year itself, which is for the conversion of warrants into equity shares. This was the deal that was completed on the 9th of May. So that money we do expect to come in this year. It could potentially go into the first quarter of next year as well, since investors have an 18-month window to put in the money. Our balance sheet is extremely unlevered. So we have a debt-to-equity today without the warrants coming in of 1.5. Once the warrant money comes in, the debt-to-equity will be 1.3x. So we don't have any official plan right now to raise additional equity in this fiscal year. But if something were to materialize, obviously we would publicly disclose that to all investors.
And correct me if I'm wrong, in Q4 FY20, do you mention that, or you're also looking for some QIP?
No, we did not mention that.
Okay. So, okay, that was my side. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, you may press star and one to ask a question. As there are no further questions, I now hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, everyone, for joining the call. We are very excited about our journey at TrueCap finance going forward, and we look forward to talking to everyone in the next quarter earnings call. Thank you.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Trucap Finance Limited, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.